Amen. God bless you, Brother Mark.
All right. We hear you, Glad.
I don't turn that down just a tad. All right. Well, I greet you tonight in the name that is above all names. The name of Him of whom we sing, the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to be back in South Carolina. As I said this morning, the cradle of American history and the cradle of American freedom. Like you, I have been overwhelmed at what I am seeing happen in our nation, literally falling apart at the seams, what has taken place in this last year and a half. But I've got good news for you tonight. God is not dead. He's alive. He's on the throne. He's got his foot on the gas pedal and his hand on the wheel. And he's taking this thing just where it needs to go. That is our rest. That is our hope. God did not wake up because he never goes to sleep. I used to tell our people all the time, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Nothing ever sneaks up on his blind side because he has no blind side. He did not wake up in 2020 and say, oh my, COVID, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? As a matter of fact, he allowed it. He's used it. And if we'll stand still, we'll see the salvation of the Lord. I know it's warm out there, but let me give you some good news tonight. This is his, if you're saved, this is as hot as it'll ever get. Now, if you're not, you better enjoy it while you can. Because it's going to get a whole lot hotter. I believe in a wonderful heaven, but I believe in a horrible hell. And the difference is Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I know my name is written in the book of life. I'm glad I know where I'm going. I appreciate the opportunity to come back. I've thought of you people often. I love this part of our country, its history and its heritage. It is an honor to be here, and I thank those who are in charge of this meeting for giving us the invitation to come. I call your attention to the book of Ephesians tonight, the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, a church that Paul not only wrote to, but a church that Paul had so much to do with its birth, its beginnings. And a church as well that our Lord Jesus spoke to in the book of Revelation when he said, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. And it only serves to remind us, dearly beloved, as long as there are humans involved, we're prone to wonder. God, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that we love. I just want to make this statement before we read the text, and that is this. You and I are a blessed people. I know this last year we have all been overwhelmed to a great degree. Our minds, our hearts, our feelings, and our emotions have been overwhelmed. We've seen a worldwide sickness or pandemic. We have seen social malaise and upheaval. We have seen political malaise like we have never seen it before. And if you and I are not careful, you watch too much Fox News or any other news, we'll not only get depressed or discouraged, but we'll find ourselves angry and out of fellowship with God. I think it's okay to be angry to a degree, but we never need to forget, dearly beloved, that our Father is in control and He holds everything in His hand. Lest we lose that peace which passes all understanding and we're able to worship and praise Him who alone is worthy. But here in the text tonight, Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read verses 3 down through verse number 14. Blessed be the God and Father
of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I told you, we are a blessed people. And he uses the phrase here, all spiritual blessings, in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined. Now, don't let this language scare you. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all things, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, or the age of time, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. I need your unction and anointing. I just need you. I can do nothing without you. I can't preach. I can't do anything. I need for you to take me above and beyond myself and put me on a plane where you alone can operate. And in doing so, Father, we know that people won't say, what a sermon. They'll say, what a Savior. The people will leave here tonight with hearts captivated by him and his glory. Give us that grace. Give us that strength. Give us that wisdom that we so direly need tonight. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory and thanks. For indeed we ask it all in the name that is above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to notice the phrase in verse number 3 where Paul made the statement that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. From this point, throughout this contextual paragraph, Paul breaks down 5 different categories of blessings, of which all blessings fall under. As we make our way through these verses tonight, I trust, dearly beloved, that you can leave here with an encouraged heart, that you can leave here with a shout on your heart, that you can leave here not with depression in your soul, but delight in your soul when you remember and you understand that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, I know sometimes when I preach this, people get off the train right here. But I want to say, dearly beloved, that he has blessed us by our predestination. Our predestination. Now let me just give you a misnomer here, dearly beloved, and that is this. I am not a Calvinist. I don't believe that God has predestinated anybody to go to hell. I believe that choice is yours. I don't believe in irresistible grace. I believe that a man has an individual choice and he can resist the grace of God. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe that once you've made that choice, he's going to take you all the way through to glory. That's what Romans chapter 8 is all about. He said all things work together for the good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. He establishes our justification. He establishes our glorification. And just so we'll know that we're going to make it all the way through, he says nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nevertheless, dearly beloved, he does expound upon the blessing of our predestination. Look at the language that he uses here. In verse number 4, he uses the word chosen. Chosen. Look what he uses in verse number 5. He uses the word predestinated. He uses the word adoption. We don't need to take our preacher penknife and try to cut it out, dearly beloved. And we don't need to explain it away. We need to study it, know it, and preach it. Amen. And then look down a little further, down in verse number 11. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of him. I'm glad tonight for the blessing of predestination. I'm glad before he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I'm glad that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and that whosoever will may come, and that he has chosen us in him. But he not only expounds upon the blessing of predestination, but he expounds upon the blessing of salvation. I love this. Look with me, if you will, please, in verse number 6 and 7. Look at the words that he uses here. Number one, he uses the phrase accepted in the beloved. I'm glad he's accepted me, amen. Not because I qualified, not because I deserved it. No, Christ receiveth sinful men. Even me, with all my sin, I've been accepted into the beloved. With open arms, he's taken me in. Not only do we see that phrase in verse number 7, we see the word redemption. The word redemption, which is just one facet of our glorious salvation. And then I love what he says in verse number 7, the forgiveness of sins. When I was a little boy, we used to sing in the primary department, gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. I'm glad he has forgiven my sins. He's cast them as far as the east is from the west. He's buried them in the depths of the sea. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The blessing of our predestination, chosen, predestinated. The blessing of our redemption, accepted into the beloved, redeemed in the forgiveness of sins. But then there is the blessing of our illumination. Our illumination. Look at verse 8. Wherewith he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You and I were darkened, alienated sinners. We knew nothing about God. We didn't want God. If there's anything you ought to believe as a Bible preacher, it is in the depravity of man. That there's not only no good about any man, but no man even seeks after God. We were walking in darkness down the pathway to hell. And all of a sudden, God interrupted our lives. And when he did, he enlightened our minds. He illuminated us. He shined his word down upon us and in our hearts. He showed us our sinfulness, our wretchedness. He showed us Christ's righteousness. And that all we need to do to live is to look to him. The blessing of our illumination. That's what's wrong with people who are lost trying to understand this old book. I hear people saying all the time, we need a new translation. No, sir. I've been preaching in the King James since I got saved. I'm still in the good old King James. And I plan on staying in the King James. We don't need another in translation. We just need a translator. We need the Holy Ghost to move inside and open our eyes and open our minds and enable us to understand the riches of his grace. This book cannot be understood with intelligence. This book cannot be understood with academics and academia. This book cannot be understood with a seminary degree or a university degree. No, my daddy told me when I went to Bible college, he said, son, there's nothing wrong with a degree, but as a preacher, what you need more than that is a temperature. You need a burning heart for God. And if you're going to understand this book, you got to be illuminated in your heart and in your mind, or you'll never understand. The blessing of our predestination. The blessing of our salvation. The blessing of our illumination. Can I say to you tonight, dearly beloved, he also expounds upon the blessing of our compensation. Oh, I love what he says here in verse number 11. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. I'm here to tell you, dearly beloved, Jesus got the short end of the stick in this deal, and you and I got the better end. I believe it can best be described by 2 Corinthians 5 in verse number 21 when it says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When he saved me, all of my sin was poured out upon him, but all of his righteousness was poured out upon me. That's how I'll go to heaven. That's how I'll get to heaven. I bear the unmerited righteousness of Jesus Christ upon the stage of my soul. Now this is a week's worth of preaching. There's no way I'm going to try to keep you a week on the first night. So let me just focus this evening on the blessing of our salvation. And allow me, if you would, please, to hone in on the word redemption. The word redemption. Redemption is not the totality of our salvation, but it is certainly, dearly beloved, a portion of our salvation. When we think of redemption, we think of the fact there was a day when you and I were slaves and servants to sin. I don't care how many professions of faith we made. I don't care how many new leases we turned over in life. I don't care how many good intentions we had, dearly beloved. You and I could not change our lives because we were slaves in the slave market of sin. Our slave master was the devil, and he paraded us on the stage of the market. And thank God, when no one else would, Jesus stepped up and Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price. Jesus bought us. Jesus gave us as a free gift the ransom of his soul, that you and I might be saved by the grace of Almighty God. I said this morning, and I want to say it again, There's a song in the old hymn book that comes to my mind and heart. We don't want you to sing it during the offering this week, but the song goes like this. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but thank God He washed it white as snow. There's not enough money in this world. There's not enough religion in this world to pay the price that needed to be paid. But He saw that pearl of great price in Matthew chapter 13. And He went and sold all that He had and bought that pearl. You and I are the pearl of great price. I want to take that word redemption just for a few moments. And I want to break it down. And I trust here tonight, we won't leave here thinking about COVID or Delta variant. We won't leave here thinking about social injustice or political malaise. We won't leave here thinking about a vaccine. But we'll leave here rejoicing and praising God tonight that we have been bought. Amen. We've been financed by the bank of heaven, and we could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk and not fall in, friend. All that's ahead for us is glory. This is as bad as it'll ever get. It only gets better from here. And the best is yet to come. I want you to see, first of all, the person of our redemption. The person. And by the way, salvation is not bound up in an organization. Salvation is not bound up in a set of rules. Salvation is not bound up in some legalistic system. Salvation is bound up in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He says in verse 7. He says, in whom? In whom? Look what He says in verse 11. In whom? Look what He says in verse number 13. In whom? Look what He says in the last part of verse 13. In whom? My friend, it's not a what, it's a whom. Amen. And who is this who? Well, when you go and search the verses that we've read, notice with me in chapter 1, look what He says in verse number 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Notice in verse number 10. That He might gather together all things in Christ. Verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. It is in Christ alone, through Christ alone, by Christ alone. In whom? In Christ. Amen. I'm glad I'm in Christ tonight. And I'm glad that Christ is in me. The writer of the Song of Solomon said it this way. As the bride went out to search for her bridegroom, and she found the ladies of that city and town, she began to describe him and tell them that he was altogether lovely. And she ended up saying this, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I don't have $1 million. And I don't have a mansion on the hillside. I don't have a Cadillac and the fine things of this world. But I've got Christ tonight. I've got the person who died for me and shed His blood that I might be redeemed. Listen to the words of Scripture that magnify this truth. I love 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The words of Luke in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. I love what John said in chapter 1 of his gospel in verse number 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name. Well, I'm still excited tonight that one day I was walking in the darkness of my sin. God opened and illuminated my mind. I received the Lord Jesus. I called upon his name. He sent his spirit into my heart. Therefore, I can sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. But not only do I see the person of our redemption, but in verse 7, I see the possession of our redemption. The possession of our redemption. Notice what he says. In whom we have. Amen. What a purchased possession it is. What a precious possession it is. And what is it? It is this treasure that you and I have in earthen vessels. It is this treasure of eternal life. It is this treasure of our eternal redemption. It is this treasure, dearly beloved, that we have a get out of jail free card from heaven, and we can go past go and not even have to collect the $200 because we have more than that in Jesus Christ. I want to say it's a personal possession. It is a personal possession. Notice the word we there. We have. It's plural in nature. But it contains the personal flavor. It is a personal possession. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In Colossians 1 and 27, Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the beauty of this redemption. That's the beauty. I can walk through a world that knows not God, but I can have fellowship with heaven because of a possession that is mine. I can even walk in church. And did you know tonight, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody even that shouts or sings in the choir or even preaches is going to enter into heaven. But only those that have a relationship with God through their Son, Jesus Christ. The world can be falling down around you, and yet in your heart there's a peace that passes all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. But it's not only a personal possession, it is a perpetual possession. He not only uses the word we here, but he uses the word have. The word have. What it means is now and forever. It is written in the present tense and the continuous mood. Jesus said it like this in John 10, 28 and 29. All that the Father hath given me, I have in my hand. And he said, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. For he is greater than all. I want to say I believe in the eternal security of the believer. You didn't do anything to get it, and you won't do anything to lose it, my friend. It's the free gift of God that he has infused in your heart. It's yours tonight. And the devil can't have it. The world can't have it. Nobody else can have it. It is yours. But I not only see the person of our redemption, and I not only see the possession of our redemption, but oh, I see the price of our redemption. Look what it says here. Through his blood. I may allude to this a little bit later in the week, My heart is burdened tonight. And my heart is concerned for the church tonight. I have long believed that grace is free. But I have never believed that grace is cheap. And I'm afraid, dearly beloved, that's what we're hearing. Even in a lot of our Baptist churches today. Not just a free grace, but a cheap grace. And I say to you tonight, to get saved won't cost you anything. But to be saved will cost you everything. And understand this, friend. Your salvation didn't come at a cheap price. It came at the cost of the lifeblood of the dear Son of God. He shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him. I hope sin hath left a crimson stain, but He's washed it white as snow. Listen to the words of the writer of Hebrews, chapter 9, in verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm all here to tell you tonight, friend, the grace of God is not cheap. It doesn't come into your heart because you give mental assent. It doesn't come in your heart because you pray some little old prayer. It comes into your heart when your heart is broken because you were a hell-bound, bankrupt sinner. God stepped out of heaven and He stepped into our world, friend. And He gave His lifeblood. He gave His all. He went to the cross of Calvary and shed every drop. He paid the supreme price for our redemption. The devil stood and bid on us. The world stood and bid on us. And the flesh stood and bid on us. But Jesus stepped forward and said, I'm the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I was on Mount Moriah when Abraham took Isaac up there. And he is about to thrust that knife. I grabbed that knife and I said, Abraham, I know you believe me now. But know this, God hath provided Himself a lamb. And 4,000 years later, God hoisted Him up between heaven and hell and heaven and this earth. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The price of our redemption. But what about the possibility of our redemption? What made it possible? Look what he says in verse number 7. According to the riches of His grace. I mean, all you have to do is go there to chapter 2 and verse 5. Look what he says. By grace ye are saved. And verse number 8 says, for by grace are ye saved. And I love verse number 4 where it says, but God. You and I were walking along. Isaiah said this, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's every one of us. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say, we come into this world through the first all, and if we can go out through the last all, we'll be okay. But friend, we were walking the path that you and I all walked as sinners. We were going our way and didn't know who we were or where we are. But thank God He infused His Son into our life. I thank God for the day that God interrupted my life, that God butted in to my business. You know what all that was? It was grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. The unmerited favor of God. I like to think one day when we get to heaven, we're all going to stand around the Lord Jesus. And by the way, we're all going to be able to sing like South Carolinians in heaven. I've never seen a part of our country so full of music as this part is. But I like to think we're all going to gather around the throne of God and sing that universal anthem of Christianity. And I like to think we're going to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank God for all spiritual blessings. And among them, I thank God tonight for the person of our redemption in Him. I thank God tonight for the possession of our redemption we have. We have. You know, Joni and I just sold our home. For 31 years, 2 months, I pastored the Parkwood Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, right on the north side of Houston. I followed my father, who had pastored it for 22 years. One of the greatest privileges God ever gave me was to take up my father's sword. After we transitioned, my wife was still teaching this year. She retired. We got our Medicare cards. I never thought I'd ever be happy about that. We're both going on Social Security. We're living in a fifth wheel. Down by the river. We're living in the fifth wheel. Traveling around. I sold my house, Clifford, and they asked me when I sold my house, they said, "Do you have a 401k plan?" I said, "What's that?" They said, "Do you have any retirement?" "No, no, I opted out. I did something real stupid. I opted out of Social Security when I was 18. "Do you have a thrift plan?" I said, "Other than my name being Thrift, no. I don't have a thrift plan. Don't have that at all. Not at all." They said, "Well, Mr. Thrift, what do you have?" I said, "I have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I have the promises of God." During COVID, 23 meetings were canceled. And did you know that I took more in love offerings during COVID year than I took in any year since this started? God has shown Himself faithful and provided our every needs. I told them, I said, "I have the everlasting promises of God." I want you to notice this last one, and that is the permanence of our redemption. The permanence of our redemption. I'll slip out of verse 7 and into verse 13 and 14. Look what it says. He says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." We were selling our house. The people who bought it put forth earnest money. Earnest money. And verse 14 says the Holy Spirit was the earnest of His promise. That wasn't all the money. But that was a promise to say it is our full intention to buy your house. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and looked over His disciples, the Bible says He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I don't believe the Holy Ghost came then. I believe He came on the day of Pentecost. But it was Jesus' earnest money. It was His earnest promise saying, "It is my full intention to send the Holy Ghost to be in you, to be with you, and through you. And never leave you nor forsake you." And on the day of Pentecost, I like what my daddy used to say. He said the Holy Ghost was coming whether they were praying or not. They could have been playing tiddlywinks and the Holy Ghost would have come. And all of a sudden a rushing mighty wind blew into that room. It filled them and anointed them. They went out on the southern steps of the temple. And they began to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And about 3,000 people got redeemed. On that day, to look over their shoulder was the temple. And God was saying, "I'm moving out of outhouse and moving into this house." And He moved in. Have you ever thought about that? Our apostolic brethren believed that Acts 2 and 38, that the gift of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But no, in that context, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost Himself. Well, they just want to magnify speaking in tongues. But 1 Corinthians 13 makes it very clear that there would come a time that that would just cease in and of itself. And as the apostolic period played out and we had the full canonization of the Word of God, you never see that in context ever again. It's gone. God's not in a box. God can do what He wants, when He wants, where He wants, and upon whom He wants. But you stop and think about it. There were 52 different languages spoke on the day of Pentecost that day. And every man said, as those disciples and those apostles preached, how hear we ever man in our own language? Now, it could be that out of those 120 in that upper room, there were 52 different people that spoke in a foreign language. But when Simon Peter preached, he didn't preach in 52 different languages. I believe he preached in Hebrew. But by the time it left his mouth and got into their ears, the Holy Ghost of God transformed it and interpreted it to them. Well, that's not the gift of tongues, that's the gift of ears. But at the base of it all is the Holy Ghost. He is the earnest promise of the Father. And He said, ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 and 30 says that, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are in Christ in the hand of the Father, sealed with the Holy Ghost. And as the Song of Solomon said, a threefold cord is not soon broken. I'm already there tonight. No, preacher. You're in Cherokee County, South America. South Carolina. Dear God, I sound like Joe Biden. I don't even know where I am. Maybe I ought to say it like this. You're in South Carolina. Yeah, my body's here. But I'm already over on the other side. Just waiting for my brand new body. I could swing out over on a rotten corn stalk and not fall in. I've got fire insurance and blessed assurance. See this right here? This is as hot as it's ever going to get. I hope I preach till I pass out, because that's the worst it's ever going to be. To God be the glory. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. With our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, let's stand to our feet just for a few moments. He's blessed us. He said, we have. For all that are redeemed tonight, whose names are written in the book of life, who know where they're going tonight, He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. You're here tonight and you don't have that blessed sweet assurance. You're here tonight, dearly beloved, and you don't hear that sweet, small voice of God speaking to your heart, saying, you're mine. You don't have to leave them. You can leave with blessed assurance. You can leave with divine redemption. You can leave knowing that your name is written in the book of life. You can leave knowing tonight where you're going when you die. And I'm here to tell you, dearly beloved, you can't do that with religion or good intentions. It takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Have you been redeemed? Have you been bought, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? and ask if you know about it. I ask you if you know him tonight. That's all the difference in the world. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to hearts tonight. If you're here this evening, you're not saved, and you don't know where you're going when you die, trust that God, the Holy Spirit, has put the fear of God in your heart. All that awaits you is a hell fire, my friend. But I want you to know this evening, you don't have to go there. Jesus paid it all. And maybe you're here tonight and you are saved, but you're out of fellowship with him. You've lost the joy of your salvation. You've lost your shout. You've lost your song. Would you not come? Come to this altar tonight. Christians, come and cry out for the salvation of lost souls. Sinners, come and cry out to a holy God to save you from the burning fire, to save you from your sin. Come. Come now. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise and thanks. We'll give you all the glory and honor. For indeed we ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. And amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Our dear brother is going to lead us in a song. What song we sing?
Page 125.